Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erevin Daf Chafav on Chafayim base, four lines from the bottom. Says Gemara, he Ab Varnaka, there was this large shady tree, which Rashi describes as something they would sit underneath during the summertime for picnicking. The Havale L'Reish Galusa B'Bustanei. So this belonged to the Reish Galusa, the head of the Galus, and he had it in his bustan, in his orchard, in his garden. And this area was an area which was enclosed Shaloi L'Shem Dira. It was L'Hukaf L'Dira, not for residential purposes, and it was an area greater than Tusa. So we cannot carry in this large size enclosure. Omalei l'Rav Huna bar Chinina. So Reish Galusa asked Rav Huna bar Chinina, try to do something to allow them to use it tomorrow on Shabbos. Li'aved mar takanta. So mar meaning Rav Huna, he should please make some sort of modification, a takana, the l'mochar nechol namahosam, which would allow us to eat our bread there tomorrow on Shabbos. Somehow turn this area into a residential area to allow us to carry there. Azal, so Rav Huna bar Chinina went of the kana, pachas mishloisha. He went ahead and he inserted poles upright next to each other, with leaving a space of less than three between each pole, creating some sort of small enclosure there where they would store the food, where the watchmen would sit and wait. And this would be considered a makandira, an area of dwelling, in which case the entire enclosure would now turn into a makam b'shehukaf l'dir. Let's see Rashi inside, three lines from the bottom. Avad kana kana pachas mishlosha tfachim. Hekef, this enclosure, kigayin mechitzas kanam, dalad mechitzas. So he created these four mechitzas using these sticks, kecheder, like a room, lahaniach sham balayla, hamachal, to store the food there at night, v'lodur shamashimer, to have the watchman, the guard, stay overnight, olomachar. Itatelena b'chala pardes. Tomorrow they're able to carry the food throughout the entire orchard, this entire garden. Why? Because it turned into a residential area. The isbe shemeter beis dira. Because it has a watchman, it has a dwelling area. And now it has a din of a makam shehukaf ledira. And therefore, despite its large size, you can carry throughout this enclosure. So this was Rav Huna bar Chinina's approach. He made this makam dira and allowed carrying throughout this enclosure. Now the problem here is that what came first? Did the deer come before the enclosure or vice versa? We learned in the Chavdal, first the enclosure needs to be, first the deer needs to be present, and only then comes the machitzes and enclose that makam deer. It's the only way to do it right. It says the ma'azal rava shalfino. So Rava went and he pulled out the sticks. He disapproved of Rav Huna bar Chinina's approach. It's invalid because the dira came first. Because the hekif came first. First came the mechitzas around this orchard, and then the dira afterwards. The mechitzas here don't relate to the dira. Also, Rav Papa, Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. So they came along, naktinu. They went over there and they pulled away the sticks and actually put it away. Naktinu mi basre. They went and they put it away. So nobody should go ahead and reinstate them. They actually supported. They held a Rava's approach. This is an invalid hekif l'dira. Says him with l'machar. The following day, Esvir Ravina l'Rav. Ravina brought a raya in support of Rava, meaning this is not considered to be a proper residential enclosure. He brought a raya to Rava from a brisa, where we learn that first needs to come the dwelling, and then the mechitzas, which come to enclose that dwelling. Otherwise, the mechitzas don't relate to the dwelling. This is a brisa pertaining to Hilchos Tchumen. We know one can walk up to 2,000 Amma from his place of residence, or if he's sitting in a walled city, a properly walled city, from the wall itself. That's when we begin counting 2,000 Amma. Because anything within that walled city is considered to be like one residential area, and the Tchum only begins outside the city. Says the brisa, depends what type of city. Ir Chadosh, a newly established city, Moedin Lamishivasa. We measure, we count the tchum of 2,000 amas from where? From its establishment, meaning from the houses themselves. Not from the wall surrounding the city. As the wall will tell us soon, because the wall came before the houses. Therefore, the wall doesn't relate to the homes, doesn't create this singular residential entity, and we have to count the tchum from an actual house. V'yishana, but an older city, which the Gemara soon will tell us means that the homes were established prior to the wall. So here the wall is coming to complement, to surround the homes, and it relates to the homes. It unifies them, it bonds them together, it creates a residential entity within that walled city. In which case, we are meant to be maided to count the tchum michay masa from the wall. Eizi chadasha, what is considered to be a chadasha, a recently established city. Vezi yishana, what is considered to be an older city. Chadasha means shehukfa, ulubaysav yashva. First, it was enclosed, surrounded with a chayma, and only afterwards was it inhabited, did they build the homes. In which case, the wall here doesn't relate properly to those homes, and you begin counting the tchum from the actual home. Yishana, what is considered to be an area yishana, where we count from the chaymer itself, yoshva lo asayf hukfa, first it was established with homes, and afterwards they encircled it with the chaymer. In which case the chaymer here relates to the homes, and everything within that chaymer is considered to be like one entity, and the city only ends at that wall. You begin counting, measuring, calculating the tchum from the chaymer. Says Ravina to Rava, I will prove to you from this brisa that your approach was correct. Because this modification that Rav Huna Bar Chinina did was invalid. Why? Vahai nami, this case as well, kuhukfa ulubasayv yashvadami. It's like the halacha first. Something was encircled, only then was it established, was it inhabited. Just as we find when it comes to the tchum, when the chaymah was erected first and then the homes come afterward. You must count from the homes. You don't reckon with that chayma. That chayma, that wall doesn't relate to the homes because it came prior to the building of the homes. In this case as well, the enclosure around this garden preceded the establishment of the little enclosure there with the sticks. So the hekef came before the dira, before the yisha. In this case, the hekef, the enclosure, the mechitzas encircling this area don't make a makom hukef ledira because there was no dira. When those mechitzas were constructed, let's see Rashi inside. Only on the top of the Amid Shalfinu. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina established those kanim as a mechitza, and Rava came along Shalfinu. He pulled them out. He doesn't agree with this modification. Naktinu mi basrei. So Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rishu came and actually took away the sticks after Rav Papa pulled them out. Shlo yachzer Rav Huna v'taknim, to ensure Rav Huna doesn't come back and reestablishes those sticks, because they held like Rava, they agreed with him. And the following day, Ravina brought a raya to Rava from Abraisa. Eis ve'le suyuyeh de shaper of it. That Rava acted correctly in pulling out those sticks. We have the Mishnah, the Abraisa, which says, Ir Chadosh, a newly established city, Moedin lo mishivasa. You measure from the homes. It says, Rashi mekefas chayma, if it was surrounded with a wall, ve'einem yusheves kula. And we're speaking that not the entire enclosure, the entire interior space of this wall was filled with homes. There are some empty spaces there. So the question is, where you count from? Do you count the tchum? Do you calculate 2,000 amah from the home? Or can you go out to the wall and begin from there? Kshebo limde tchumeo, lo yimded lo min ha-chayim. You cannot count from the chayim, elo min ha-batim, from the homes. The chayim ha-salav chayimahi. The chayim here is not an effective wall. L'shav yekulis galat al-damis. To consider the entire enclosure, the entire city, as though it's merely four amis, which is a term used to denote a single entity of residence. So, in this case, we don't have that quality. And therefore, we must begin calculating from the actual home. Since it's yeshiva, means the inhabitants are recent. Because the wall preceded the homes, Aval Yishana, but a previously established city, Shishuba Yishana, in which case the residents preceded the wall, the Kadam L'Chaymasa. In that case, Moedin L'Michamasa, we begin calculating from the Chaym itself, because in this case the wall is coming to bind together all the homes, coming to create that singular walled city entity, in which case the entire enclosure is considered like merely four amis, meaning it's all like one residence. We begin counting from the end of the residence, which is the wall. And the Gemara continued, V'hai nami, in this case as well, Hai pardes, this orchard, this garden, Hai rehukaf yamim rabim, was already encircled for many days. V'hacha shemira nasa achshem, this watchman house was recently constructed. V'hekev ha pardes lavadat adach dirahu hava, this hekev, this mechitza surrounding the paradise was not done with the intent and purpose to serve a residency. V'dami ki hukuf v'sof yashav, it is similar to the halacha of the city which was first walled and only afterwards inhabited. So this was Ravina bringing a riot to Rava. You're 100% right. This was not a proper residential enclosure, and you did well. You did right that you pulled out those sticks. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa l'Rava. Rav Papa as well will bring a riot to Rava. That this is not a proper hookah for the dira. V'amar Rav Asi. Didn't Rav Asi say, Mechitzes Adrachlan. Mechitzes which were created by construction workers, by builders, meant for shade. Those are merely temporary mechitzes, lo yishma mechitza. In the Rabbanon, we don't consider them to be proper mechitzes. You cannot carry within mechitzes of this sort, because they're merely temporary mechitzes. They don't have a long shelf life. As she says, they're there for a day and night. Therefore, it's or maybe longer, but it's not something which is meant to stay there permanently. And in our case as well, these sticks were not meant to be there long term. Alma apparently, given the listeners, since those mechitzes for the construction workers are really done for protection and privacy, given listeners, vidala lo yahav your mechitza, they're not regarded as a steadfast proper mechitza. Hachinami here as well, when it comes to these sticks, which are merely of a temporary nature, Rashi says they'll be there for day and night, just for overnight, 24 hours. It's just something temporary. Hachinami given listeners, vidala. It's not merely for privacy, meaning it's just something temporary. It has no intention of leaving it there long term. It's not considered to be midarabanan as a proper mechitza. Therefore, these sticks, which are enclosing this area where you're going to store the food, leave the watchman overnight, you can't reckon with them. They can't create a residence, in which case the entire hekif should turn into a mokin which is hukaf ladir. You can't say that. Let's take a look at Rashi, 12 lines from the top. Says Rashi, only Rav Papa l'Rava. Listen, Yuye, Rav Papa as well was bringing a riot to Rava. This is not a proper mechitza, proper residence. Adrachlan banoim builders sho'isim mechitza letzel, sevyaseim, which make this mechitza merely to shade themselves, shoboinim b'chama, when they build in the sun. Kivin l'sniyusahi, ulamachar sasrila. Lav klumi. Since tomorrow they're going to break it down, it's merely there for shade, privacy. It's a temporary mechitza. It's not considered, not reckoned with. V'hanami, in our case as well, l'tzniyusa d'yoyim v'layla ba'almi. David, it was merely erected for tzniyus day or night, meaning just a very short shelf life, a very short experience of a mechitza v'lav dirhi. Therefore, it cannot be considered to be a proper mechitza and a proper dira, and this enclosure cannot be transformed into a makim, which was hukaf l'dir. Continues over to another riot. Amr le Rav Huna bring the Rishul the Rava. I'll also bring you a riot. Va'amr Rav Huna, did Rav Huna say mechitza asui le'nachas loishu mechitza, a mechitza which was merely erected for the sake of containment, to contain something within it. That's not considered to be a proper mechitza. I mean, Rabbanu, you cannot rely on it. You cannot carry within an enclosure that was merely done for storage, for containment purposes, to safeguard food, etc. The ha, as we find in the following story, the Rabba Baravua, Ma'arav lo lekula mechuza, arsiyais. So what happened was, mechuza was a large city, and there were many alleyways, many mevois, which were stretching from, let's say, from the middle of the city, out to the outskirts of the city, to the perimeter of the city. Now, those mavois were not actually mefulish. They were not open on both sides because at the outskirts of the city, there were mechitzes enclosing the entranceway to that mavoi. So technically, this city, this mechitza right now, should be considered a completely walled city. It's like one entity, in which case you can go ahead and carry throughout the city, provided you establish an Erev Chatziris to merge together all the residents of the city. Consider them like one residency, like one dira. Now you can carry it throughout the entire area, Rabban. Nevertheless, we found that Rabba Baravua didn't do that. He didn't make one area for the entire city and relied on those mechitzes. Again, those mechitzes were at the entranceway to the city. those alleyways which ended at the perimeter, at the outskirts of the city, all had a mechitza at that point. He didn't rely on those mechitzas. You know why? Because those mechitzas were there to protect their content. What type of content? There were these pits which were dispersed throughout the city here, and they had animal feed in them. They had date pits meant for oxen. So the mechitzas which were created at the entranceway to the city, at the entranceway to those alleyways, were intended to protect the contents of those pits. Therefore, he didn't rely on them. Let's see inside. The Harabba Baravu Ma'arav Lo Lekulim Mechuzah. He would make an Erev for the entire Mechuzah, not one singular Erev for the entire city, to rely on those Mechitzas. Ar-Siyaisa. Neighborhoods, meaning he would make a separate Erev Chatzeres for each neighborhood. Why? Because he didn't regard the entire city as one entity due to those mechitzes. Because those mechitzes were there to protect the content of the pits which were contained in the city. Mishum Pira, on account of the pits, the beituri, meant for the oxen, which contained date pits. So we see, Vahapira de beituri, mechitzes which were constructed for this purpose, to protect the content of these pits, ke mechitza asui lenachas damya. It's like a mechitza which is merely erected lenachas, to protect the content. So we see that a mechitza merely to contain, to protect a content, is not considered to be a proper residential mechitza. Here as well, says Rav Huna, Huna Beit Yeshua, in the case of the Reish Galusa, so Rav Huna Bar Chinah created those temporary sticks to put the food in, to keep the shomer in. The Gemara is comparing it to a mechitza merely meant for containment. Rashi explains, means to say that it's not meant for residential purposes. Just as in the mechitza, it's meant for containment, it's not meant for dira, it's meant to contain, to store. Likewise, in our case, even though the shomer is living there, but it's just a temporary mechitza, it's not meant for dira, for constant dwelling, for residency, for proper dira. Therefore, those mechitzas don't create dira. So this was a third approach in support of Rava, and he did well when he pulled out those sticks, because that wasn't a valid dira. So in summary, we have three rayas to Rava. Number one, from the Braisa, which told us that when the enclosure comes before the dwelling, when the hekev comes before the dira, it is not considered to be a proper hekev ladira. Next raya was from the chitzes adrach, on those construction mechitzes erected by the construction workers for sake of protection from sun, something merely temporary, does not have midrabbana, din of mechitza. And finally, from the case of the Pira de Beituri, the mechitza that were meant to protect the content of those pits, which contain date pits, so those containment mechitza is not considered to be residential, of residential quality. Likewise, in our case, merely temporary mechitza, these sticks, don't have residential quality and cannot be used. So the Reish Galusa, he saw what was going on, they pulled out the sticks, and they all brought riots, that this, it's invalid. Kari Alayos, in exasperation, he called out, he related to all these Chachamim, who brought riots to invalidate these mechitza, this mechitza. Kari Alayos, Reish Galusa, he called out the Pasuk, which is in Yirmiyah, Chachamim Heim Elohara, Olehitav Lo Yado, that Chachamim to do bad, they apply their wisdom to invalidate my mechitzas. They don't know how to do good, meaning because they invalidated his mechitzas. Continues the Gemara, Omer Biloy, Shemat Rabbi Lezer Afilu Beiskor. So Rabbi Lezer is telling us, or Biloy is telling us in the name of Rabbi Lezer, that even a karfif, which was not hukaf ladira, can be very large in size, up until a Beiskor, which is 30 saw. That's also considered to be small enough, relatively small enough, to have some sort of residential value to it, and therefore you can carry in it, even if it's up to 30 so. This is much larger than the standard formula with which the Chacham set forth, which is 2 so. He holds up until 30 so, which is the base core. Masnis and like Chananya. Our Mishnah here is not following Chananya, who gives us an even greater size allowance. Asani Chananya Omer va'afilu hi arboim so, up to 40 so, ke'as terat yesh ha-melech. Like the walking area of the kings of the palace, they had a backyard where they would stroll and perhaps have paths there. So that also has residential value. Rashi says, Alma, Ika dira bahachi. Apparently, this too is considered to be a makam dira, a residentially used area. Therefore, he says that you can go ahead and stretch your karfif up until 40 saw and carry within it. So we have Rabbi Lo gives us a shita of 30 saw, which is a base kur, and Chananya goes a bit further to 40 saw. Amar Yechanan, Ushnei Mikra Echadarshu. Both opinions are based on the same pasuk, which is a source of their respective shitas. Shneimar, this was by the palace of Chizkiah Melech. Vayhi Yishayo lo yotza chotzer hatichoina. Now, Yishayo didn't go out to the chotzer hatichoina interior. Didn't go out of the interior chotzer. Interesting, in the pasuk itself, you look in the Nevi'im, pasuk of Malachim, ksiv ha'ir. Instead of the word chotzer, it says lo yotza ha'ir. V'karin chotzer. And instead of reading ha'ir, we read chotzer. The pasuk is coming to teach us something. Even though this area was so large in size, this was a backyard, it was so large in size, like a typical city, like an average size city, it is still considered and regarded as a chotzer, as a courtyard, which means that it has residential value and usage to it. Mekan las terat yesh ha'melech. Here we see this lot, this walking area, this strolling area of the king. Shoy kayor's beinoinyos were built same size as a medium-sized city, and it still retains residential quality to it. But Ma'ika Miflugi. So what is the point of Machlokes between Chananya and Rabbi Loi? They're both basing it on this pasuk. Depends how large this place was. Marasava Ayores Beinoinius. The medium-sized city was Havian Beiskor, was a Beiskor, which is 30 saw. And therefore we allow even an enclosure up to Beiskor, Umar Savimem Sar Havyan. Ayores Beinoinius, your typical city, your average city is up to 40 saw. And the pasuk here tells us an area enclosed that has this area size of 30 or 40 saw is still considered to be a chatzer, a courtyard, has residential value, since we find that the king would stroll in there. So likewise, we apply a formula to any enclosure, even if it was not hukav ladira. It is still considered to be a reasonably sized area, which can have residential value to it. Says the Gemara of Yishayo, my boy Hassam. What was Yishayo doing there in the backyard of the palace, which wasn't the entrance point of the palace? Amar Rabba bar Chana of Yechanan. Malamit, the teacher says, Shecholach Chizkiah fell ill. V'holach Yishayo, V'hoishiv Yeshiva al Pischai. Yishayo went over there and established the Yeshiva al Pischai, at the entrance way to the palace, perhaps the back entrance way. And the point here was to protect Chizkiah from the Malach HaMavis. We know Torah protects one from the Malach HaMavis. As Masha points out, perhaps he specifically chose the back, which is not an inhabited area where the Malach HaMavis perhaps can go ahead and sneak in, so to speak, because he's not allowed to be where the public is walking around, but in the backyard, that's where he has access. So specifically there, he chose to place the yeshiva to protect the king. Mikan le Talmud Chacham shechala, we learn from here, that when a Talmud Chacham falls ill, shemo yeshiva yeshiva pischoi, we're meant to place a yeshiva at the entranceway to his home to protect him from the Malach HaMavis. As Umar Milsi, actually, we're not meant to do that. Why? It might endanger him further. Dilma, Asi Ligaruya Bei Satan. Perhaps the Satan who galvanizes his powers, who feel threatened by the yeshiva, and already doubles his effort to bring about harm on the Talmud Chacham. Now, Asher points out that it appears that this conclusion only applies to your typical situation of a Talmud Chacham. But Yishayo did correctly, because there was already a gzera that Chizkiah should die. So he's coming to somehow undo the gzera, so to speak, to bring additional schusim to Chizkiah. It's not your typical case. Where Talmud Chacham is ill, we're not meant to instigate the Yetzirah and bring about, perhaps, an even worse situation. Continues the Gemara, V'chein shemati imenu. So this is Rabbi Loi speaking. In addition, I also heard from Rabbi Lezer the following halacha. An shechatzer, sheshachar echad mem le'irev. You have people living in a chatzer. We're meant to make erev chatzeris amongst themselves. One of these residents forgot, neglected to make the Erev. So what's the next option? You do bittul. Bittul means, literally means nullify. Here it means that you're giving up, you're surrendering, you're forfeiting your rights to use the chatzer. your usage rights, you're giving up and allowing them to acquire it. So this is in lieu of an Erev. Now they can go ahead and use the entire Chatzar as though he doesn't exist, because he's like a guest. He doesn't really have rights any longer in the Chatzar. The fact that the rest of the residents made an Erev and merged their ownership together, they created this one Dira, now they can freely transfer from their homes to the Chatzar. And this fellow as well is considered like their guests. And he can go ahead and transfer from them home, their homes to the Chatzar. But there's one thing we have to keep in mind. This fellow cannot transfer from his home to the courtyard. Because once he did Bittel, if he's going to go ahead and transfer from his home to the courtyard, it's going to appear like he's regaining his foothold. He's reacquiring, he's taking back his usage rights to that Chatzar. So he cannot transfer from his home to the Chatzar. But they perhaps can use his home and the Chatzar, meaning transfer from the home to the Chatzar. Now, the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Eloi, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, tells us that he can go ahead and use the Chatzar, transfer from their homes to the Chatzar, and they can go ahead and transfer from his home to the Chatzar as well. So that's Rabbi Eloi's version. But haven't we learned that his house is off limits even to them? Not only can he not transfer in and out of his home, but even the rest of the residents cannot go ahead and transfer in and out of the of this person's home. So you have a stira between our Mishnah and the other Mishnah. The Teretz is very simple. The two Mishnahs reflect different shittas. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eloi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that when this person who neglected to make an Erev does Bittel, he forfeits his rights of usage in the Chatzar. He's not limiting the Bittel to Chatzar. He'll do it generously. He'll give up even the rights of his home, so to speak, to the rest of the Bnei HaChatzar. So now they can go ahead and freely transfer from his home to the Chatzar as well. There's no concern here because it all belongs to them. They have usage rights to everything, to the entire Chatzar and to his home as well. That's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Therefore, in our Mishnah we learn that when he does Bittel, they can go ahead and transfer from his home to the Chatzar as well. So although for him himself, his home is off limits, meaning he can't transfer from his home to the Chatzar, as we explained, because it'll look like he's going to regain his ownership of the Chatzar. But they can go ahead and use everything freely, transfer from all their homes to the Chatzar and vice versa without any restrictions. That's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, because he holds, when you give away your Chatzar, you give away your house as well. V'harabbanon. In contrast to that Mishnah, which is following Shita's Rabban, which hold, that one forfeits his usage rights to the Chatzar, he only gave away the rights to the Chatzar. He never meant to give away the rights of usage of his home. Therefore, they cannot transfer from his home to the Chatzar. So his home remains off limits for him and for them, meaning nobody could transfer from the home to the Chatzar and vice versa. Hara Blazer Rabbanon. Says the Moksha Timtzi Leima. So if you go ahead and analyze it, you're going to conclude that the reason for these two shitas is as follows. When one does bittel on the rishus, the rights of use of his chatzar, he gives it away to the rest of the residents. Rishus base bittel. Not only does he give away the rishus of the chatzar, he also gives away the rishus of the house. Therefore, they can freely transfer in and out of his home as well. This is Rabbi Eliezer shita, who holds when a person is mevatel, Rashi says he's mevatel ba'ayin yofa, with a good eye, generously gives away everything. The Rabbanan, however, they hold ha'mevatel rishus chatzeroi, just because he gave away the rishus of his chatzer, rishus basically bitel. He never intended to give away the rishus of his home. Therefore, nobody could transfer from his home to the chatzer because his home remains personally his. It's limited to him, and therefore, it can't connect to this Erev Chatzeroes, which they had established amongst themselves. His house remains off limits for everybody. Says Rav Pshita. Well, that's pretty obvious, meaning why does Rav Sheshes need to go ahead and give us this lengthy explanation? Rav Leza holds that he gives everything away. Rabban disagree with that. Isn't that pretty obvious? What then would be the basis of the Machlekes? This certainly is the most obvious explanation why Rabbi Leza holds on a person's mevatel the rishus to his fellow chatzar members, or he allowed them to transfer in and out of his house because he gave away the house as well. Which Rabban disagreed with that. Isn't that pretty obvious? And that must be the reason. Why does Sheshes need to give us this lengthy explanation? Says the Gemara, Omar Rechava, Ano, myself, Rav Huna Bar Chinna, myself and Rav Huna Bar Chinna Targimna, we explained that apparently Rav Sheshes added this elaborate explanation. What he meant to say was that, he meant to indicate that the same reasoning will apply to another scenario as well, meaning that because Rav Leza indeed holds that a person gives away ba'ayin yofi, gives it generously, there'll be another ramification to this halacha as well. For Nitzrucha, apparently this added explanation was needed to teach us the following halacha. Elo l'chamisha sheshruin mechatzur echad. You have five people residing in one courtyard. V'shachach echad men v'lo yirev. And one of them neglected to make an erev. L'divrei Rav Leza, according to Rav Leza holds, generally speaking, when a person does bittel, how does he do it? He does it generously. So he gives away the chatz and the home. In this case, we'll have another application. When this fellow forgot, we'll go ahead and make bittul. There's no need for him to go around to each person individually and say, I'm being vatal to you, and to you, and to you. The assumption here is that bittul was meant to give it to everybody. He's a generous fellow. He doesn't have to go specify to each person individually. So the bittul is assumed to be to all equally, and therefore there's no need to elaborate further. This is Rav Leza's shita that holds that bittul is done generously. L'rabbanan, however, k'shumavatel v'shusoy, tzorach levatel v'chol echad ve'echad. He needs to go ahead and approach them one by one and tell them, look, I'm doing bittul to you, and then to you, and then to you. Because there's no presumption here. That he's doing it generously and has them all in mind. So this was the purpose of Rav Sheshes adding that clause. Explained to us, Rav Leza holds there's a generous attitude here, and Rabbanan disagree with that. Rav Sheshes meant to apply it to this context as well. Come on, Oslo, the Sanya. So Halacha found in the following Braisa, whose view does it reflect? The Braisa says, Chamisha Sheshurim Mechatzur Echad, five who are residing in one Chatzur, Veshachach Echad Mem, Velo Irev, and one of them forgot to make an Erev. When he does bittul, he forfeits his ownership, his usage of the chatzur. There's no need to approach each person individually. Come on, who sheet is this? Kerbalazer, who holds that bittul is done generously, and the assumption is he had all of them happily in mind. Let's take a look at Rashi, 8 lines from the top. Hachigasina says Rashi le'nitzrucha. Apparently, this added explanation was needed for the following halacha. Elo l'chamisha sheshurim b'chatzur v'chul. Dash mina Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes here is coming to teach us something. Losam leiv. Pay attention. Lahavin tam machlikosam. To understand, to analyze the reasons behind the disagreement of Rav Leza and Rabban. V'lu ma'idemenu davar acher. To learn from that, how to apply it to another halacha. Do Rav Leza mevatel b'ayin yafel mevatel. When a person is mevatel, does it so generously. We don't say chatzah the goli goli, the bittul of the chatzah which he explicitly said megala that he wants to do that. We say only that is what he had in mind. Bais le goli with the house. He didn't have that in mind. We don't say that. V'neilef mina, and therefore we learn from there the fact that we don't say that. We say that rather a person is generous with his bittul, and he gives away his home with the chatzah. Therefore, we can derive from there v'neilef mina the echad the batal lechad minayu batal leku. When he approaches one fellow of the chazer, says, "Look, I'm giving away my batal to you, my chazer." He didn't mean specifically to him; he meant to everybody equally. But look, amina, we don't say leman the goli goli. So the person that he explicitly spoke to, it works too. Leman the goli goli, but to other people not. So this realizes shita. Whoa, that person is generous with his batal. And just as he's mevatel, the home with his chatzar. Likewise, in this case, he had everybody happily in mind. In contrast to the Rabbanan, who disagree, they hold the person is limited with his bittul. He gives away only what he's compelled to. The Rabbanan tzorach levatel le'echad be'echad. The Rabbanan, in this case, will hold. He needs to go over to each person and say, look, I'm giving it to you, and to that person I'm giving it to you as well. Ki yehechi, just as we find, till the gabi bias, when it comes to the bittul of the usage of the home, zviru they hold, they might le'parish le'batel. Unless he specifically, since he didn't specifically state that he's giving away the home, that's not a clue in the bittul. Ha'achinam, in this case as well, l'mad le'perush le'batul. So the person who had not yet specifically stated that he's giving him the rishus, the bittul does not apply to him. V'kul nasur, and therefore everybody would be also, because Rashi gives a whole explanation based on the Gemara later, that the bittul needs to apply to all them equally. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara. So this was the first approach in the Gemara. We had Rav Lezer and the Rabbanan. Rav Lezer holds Ein Yofa, generous bittul, the house with the chatzar. He has everybody in mind, Rabbanan hold limited bittul, the chatzar without the home, and only if he specifically approaches the person and gives him the bittul. Rav Kahana Masni Hochi. Rav Kahana had this previously stated version, that Rav Sheshes was the one who gave that explanation, but didn't really elaborate how to apply it. And it was Rechava and Rav Huna Bar Chinana who gave us, provided us the context of that application. Rav Tevyumi Masni Hochi, he had a different version of events. Same halacha, same result, but difference will be that Rav Sheshes himself actually provided the context and the application of the halacha. Kiman Ozla, says the Gemara, the following brisa, who is it following? The brisa which says, Hadasan, hey sheshruim b'chatzor echad, you have five people in a single chatzor, reshochach echad mev le'irev, and one of them forgot to make an irev, kshumavato reshusay. When he does bittel, he surrenders his rights of usage in the chatzor, ein etzorach levato reshus l'chol echad v'echad, there's no need for him to go ahead and do specific bittel. For each specific person in this chatzor, keman nuhushita, is being reflected in this price. So Amar Funa, Par Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes. So it was Rav Sheshes himself who gave us this insight. Keman, Kerb Lezer. Apparently, this is found in Rav Lezer, who holds that a person is generous with his bittul. Therefore, it has this application as well, that the bittul will apply to all members. Equally, he had all of them in mind. There's no need for him to explicitly approach each specific person and give him the bittul. Amar Rav Papa Labai. Rav Papa asked Abai the following question. Now, up until now, we had this, with this clarity of understanding, this clarity of pshat in Rav Lezer's shita, which was that the bittul is done generously, and the Rabbanan hold, not necessarily so. Rav Papa evidently was not aware of this explanation, and therefore he presented the following question to Abai. Om Rav Papa Abai, the Rav Lezer, according to Rav Lezer, who holds that the bittul will apply to a person's home as well. And therefore, as we said, the other members of the chatzar can go ahead and transfer in and out of his home because he gave away the rights to the other members. Says Rav Papa Tabai, the Rav Lezer, according to Rav Lezer Shita, Omar Loim Matilna. Let's say he specifically says, you know what, I am not being mevatel my home. I'm not surrendering usage rights to my home. What's going to be the halacha there? And conversely, Ulu Rabbanan, who say, generally speaking, the house is not included in the chatzar's bittul. He only gives away the chatzar, his own tent, to give away the home, therefore they cannot freely use his home. What about if he specifically says, Rabbanan, I am being about to my home as well? This is not a presumption, it's not stoma. He's specifically expressing his intention. What will be the halach in this case? Explains the Gemara. Time of the Rav Lezer is the basis of Rav Lezer's opinion, who holds that when he's mevatel the courtyard, he's surrendering the home as well. Is it because mishum dekasavar ha-mevatel rishus chatzeri? Every time a person does bittel on the usage rights of his chatzer, rishus beis bittel, do we simply understand that we presume that included in the rishus of the bittel of the rishus of the chatzer is also included the usage rights to his home? So the presumption here is that he is a generous fellow. He means to have everything included, the house as well as the chatzer. But in this case, he specifically said, that's not his kavana. V'hai Omar, anolam matulna. This fellow specifically said, he said beferish, I am not being mevata my home. So it's based on an assumption. When he specifically says that he wants to leave the home for himself, that can't be included. That's one approach. Dilma, perhaps. Tama de Rebeleza. What is the reason why Rebeleza holds that, generally speaking, when one forfeits his usage rights to the chatzar, the usage rights to the home are included in that bittul as well? What is the reason? Mishum. Because the bayis belay chatzar. Lo yavidi inshi de dairi. Because in a home, without usage rights to the courtyard, which is in front of the home, which is meant as a service area for the home, doesn't have rights to that. Lo yavidi inshi de dairi. People don't live in this type of home. It's not considered to be a proper dwelling. So, it's a halacha consideration, meaning once you give away the chatzar, included in that is the home as well. There's no dira, there's no dwelling, no residency remaining. Once you give away the usage rights of the chatzar, the house merely goes along with it. There's no home without the chatzar. Therefore, even in this case, even if he specifically says, you know what, I'm giving away the chatzar, but I'm keeping the home, he has no right to say that. Even if he says, you know what, I'm living in this home, I'm retaining full ownership and usage rights to this home, lav klum kama, he hasn't said anything. Legally, halachically speaking, we don't reckon with those words. Because once you give away the chatzar, the house automatically goes along with it. It's not a standalone residence. It needs to go together with the chatzar. If there's no chatzar, there's no home. Therefore, when you do bittul on the chatzar, automatically, the home is included despite his protests. So this is the other side of the coin, that perhaps Reb Lezer is not based on generosity. It's based on a halachic consideration. Once you give away the chatzar, the home on its own is practically useless. And it's an inconvenient dwelling area, and therefore, when you give away the chatzar, the home just goes along with it. So even if he specifically says, I'm retaining the home, we say, no, the home gets included in the bittul of the chatzar, and they have full rights to transfer in and out of his home as well. Continues the Gemara. The same question will apply to the Rabbanu, Ulu Rabbanu. I'omar mematilna, my. Let's say he specifically says, I am actually doing bittul on my home as well. I'm giving away, I'm forfeiting usage rights to my home as well. My, what is halacha in this case? Time of the Rabbanon is the reason why the Rabbanon maintain, generally speaking, the person retains usage rights to his home. Mishum dekasavri, because they hold, hamavato shus chatzeroi, which is basically bittul. Person's not so generous. Whatever he's compelled to give away, he gives away. If he's giving away the chatzar, fine, but he holds on to his home. That's only a presumption, but in this case, hi, this person, he specifically stated that I'm giving away my home as well. So perhaps they would agree, in this case, that his home is included in the bittul. Or perhaps, the reason why the Chachamim maintain that a person retains ownership to his home, time of the Rabban, what is their reason? Mishum, to lo yavid inish, the mesalek nafshi legamri, mibayis v'chatzar. It is not assumed, it is not customarily practiced that a person would be masalik nafshi, completely remove himself, eject himself completely from his home and his courtyard, and to present himself like a mere guest to the other residents. A person wouldn't so extremely change the situation from a homeowner to merely a guest. Therefore, we assume that although he gave something away, he only gave away usage rights to the chatzar. But the actual home, he retains usage rights to the home. Therefore, in our case, v'hai, even though he says specifically, I'm giving away the home, lavkol kamin, he has no right to say that, meaning, batla data, his das, his intent, his attitude becomes nullified. We don't reckon with it. Rashi says, batla data, it's a kol adam. In view of the commonly held custom practice of your average person, ordinary people wouldn't give away their property to such extent. Therefore, it doesn't really carry weight halachically. It doesn't have legal standing. It's not something which is done. And therefore, the bittul only applies to the chatzar, but the home is retained by the owner. So, these are two approaches, according to Reb Lezer and the Rabbanon, meaning, it's a concept of Reb Lezer and Rabbanon based on generosity. Reb Lezer holds a person is generous, Rabbanon holds he's not. Therefore, if he specifically said, in Reb Lezer's case, I'm not generous, or in the Rabbanon, I am generous, we'll follow his word. Or is a halachic consideration here? The Reb Lezer holds, a home without a chatzar is practically useless. So once you give away the chatzar, the home goes along with it. So even if he specifically says, I am not giving away the home goes along. Conversely, according to the Rabbanon, it's a halachic consideration. That we say, well, this type of arrangement doesn't work. It's not something which is acceptable. People don't do this, don't give away the entire property, the home with the chatzar. Therefore, even if he specifically says that the bittul should apply to his home, it doesn't have any halachic standing. Amar Leis Abayi responded, indeed, that Reb Lezer and Rabbanon's svaris, their opinions are based on generosity. meaning Koncha Blazer, the presumption is the person is generous, gives away the home and the chatz. Therefore, he specifically says, I'm not. We believe him. And we follow that. Koncha Rabbanon, generally, a person limits his vittel, only gives away what he has to. And if he specifically states, I'm giving away the home as well, certainly we follow it. Amalei ben Rabbanon, ben Rablezer, kiven the goli daite, goli. This person reveals his intention, meaning he articulated his intent very clearly. I'm giving away, I'm not giving away, goli. He has revealed, and we follow that to the T. Continues the Gemara, v'chein shamati mimenu. This is Rabbi Loi quoting Rabbi Lezer. I also heard from him the following halacha, sheyotzim bar kivalon v'pesach. One can fulfill his mitzvah of maror by eating this bitter plant called arkivalon. My arkivalon, what is this? Amir shlokish atzvasa chazur charuziyasa. This is the plant, this reed, growing around, wrapping itself around the palm tree. As Rashi says, v'tam maror boy, apparently has a bitter taste. And according to Rabbi Loi's version of Rabbi Lezer, this can be used for the mitzvah of mar as well. Hadron loch, oisin past. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the story of Reish Galusa, who wanted to use his garden there, this large shady tree on Shabbos. So he instructed Rav Huna Bar Chinuna to apply some sort of modification to turn the place into a makam hukaf l'dira. And he went ahead and planted those poles to create an enclosure. And a rubber came and he pulled them out. He held, it's an incorrect approach. This doesn't make it mutter betotel. The Gemara gives us three reasons why Rav's approach was the correct one. Number one, because this enclosure was first hukaf, and then the deer came along, and therefore it does not have a halachic standing as a residential enclosure. The Gemara said, just as mechitzas litznius, not considered to be considerable mechitzas, therefore in our case as well, they're just temporary mechitzas. And Midrabban, you cannot use them as mechitzas. Or mechitzas l'nachas. Mechitzas is merely done to place, to store things that also cannot be used for carrying. So we see something that doesn't have dira value, residential value, does not constitute proper mechitzas Midrabbanon. And in our case as well, the mechitzas is merely erected for a temporary, for a short time span, as she says, a night and a day, and therefore they don't have the status of dira mechitzas, of residential mechitzas, they cannot use them. We want to discuss the maximum size of a karfif. According to Riloi, it's a base kor, according to Hanani, 40 saw, and they source their shitas from the pasuk describing the backyard of Chizkiah Melch's palace, which was considered to be a residential area, despite the fact that it was very large in size. We learned that, according to Rabbi Lezer, a person is generous when it comes to his bittel. He gives away rights to his chatzar and to his home. And he has all the residents of the chatzar in mind. Ayin yafem avat, according to Rabbanon, a person is limited and restricted in his bittel. His intent is merely to give away the chatzar, not the home. And therefore he needs to go ahead and do a specific bittel to every single member of that chatzar. We don't assume that he had everybody in mind. The Gemara concluded, and indeed this is the basis of their respective opinions. Therefore, if he specifically stated otherwise, according to Rabbi Lezer, he specifically says, I'm holding on to my bias. According to Rabbanon, he specifically says, I'm giving away my bias as well. Certainly, it holds water and is legally binding. And we conclude with the third halacha that Rabbi Loi quoted from Rabbi Lezer. So in summary, we have three halachas. Number one, that the maximum size of the karfif, which was not hukaf l'dira, it can be up to a base kur. The second halacha named Rabbi Lezer, that person is mevata ba'ayin yafa. And the third one was that you can use the ar kevalon, this bitter plant, for the mitzvah of mar.